Well, this morning, we are going to be looking into a subject that is somewhat controversial. In fact, over the last half of the 20th century, probably this is one subject that has been most misunderstood, abused, even in evangelical circles, and that's the subject of spiritual gifts. There's been more controversy, confusion, dissension, and division over gifts than probably any other subject. And many churches have split over spiritual gifts. And that's nothing new. The controversy is nothing new because there was controversy back in the first century. Back in first century Corinth, they were having problems around spiritual gifts and their use in the church. Remember, Paul back in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians said that the church of Corinth did not lack in any gift. They were a very gifted church, and yet they didn't know how to use those gifts. And they were causing problems in the church. You see, folks, they were a very gifted church. They didn't lack in the gifts of the Spirit. But what they lacked in was the graces of the Spirit, which are so important for the proper use of the gifts within the body of Christ. The subject of spiritual gifts and their use is so important that the Holy Spirit led Paul to write no less than three chapters, chapters 12, 13, and 14, on spiritual gifts. This is an important subject for the church. Now, what are spiritual gifts? How many are there? Who has them? How can a person know which one he or she has? How important are they to individual Christian living and to the growth of the church? How can they be properly used in the church? These are just some of the subjects that Paul touches on in chapters 12 through 14. And that's what we're going to start looking into this morning as we start this study on spiritual gifts. So would you take your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'd like to read with you verses 1 through 11. So would you stand as we read God's word this morning? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 11. Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills." Let's pray. Lord, today we come to an area that's very important for the church. And Lord, you show how important it is by giving us so much material, three chapters on the gifts and the proper use of the gifts. But Lord, we need you to be our teacher. We need you to guide us in this study and to show us how important this is. so that we might be better servants of you in the local church. And as we live for you, we might, God, take those things which you have given us, the equipment, and we might employ these things in your service. And so today, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, guide us in your truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I'd just like to share with you four areas concerning spiritual gifts. Four areas of truth concerning spiritual gift. And first one is this: the discernment needed in reference to spiritual gifts. When it comes to gifts of the Spirit, we need discernment. We really need a discerning spirit. And so Paul begins in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? Now concerning spiritual gifts, he says. The Corinthians were having problems in their worship service, and it was around spiritual gifts. And you remember, we talked already about women and head coverings, and we talked about that problem. And then they had problems with their communion service, and we talked about what Paul said about that. And now he starts a new subject where they were having problems. They wrote to him and said, we're having problems with spiritual gifts, Paul. And he begins, now concerning spiritual gifts. The word there used, it's one word, spiritual gifts, one word. It's pneumaticos. It comes from the word pneuma, which means it's spirit. And it means spiritual things. Spiritual things. This word is always, except one exception over in Ephesians 6, it's always used in connection with the Holy Spirit. When we're talking about spiritual gifts, it involves the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that. And he says, now concerning spiritual things, and the things he's going to write to them about, and we see that in context, are spiritual gifts. So we've got to start out and ask, what are spiritual gifts? Let me give you, Warren Wiersbe gives this definition of a spiritual gift. He says, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability to serve God and other Christians in such a way that Christ is glorified and that the church is edified. That's a good definition of spiritual gifts. John MacArthur gives this definition. Spiritual gifts are God-given endowments for Christian service. They are God's supernatural provision for the edification of the church and the evangelization of the world. They are the means through which believers are to grow, worship, witness, and serve. That's a good definition, isn't it? Now I'm going to give you the official definition. My definition of spiritual gifts. But I think spiritual gifts are God-given supernatural abilities that are given to every Christian. Every Christian. And they are given for the glorification of Jesus Christ, the edification of his church, to equip us for ministry and service. That's a spiritual gift. Now, he continues here. He says, listen, so we got to have some information here. He says, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware. I like how the King James says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. And you know what? Someone said the fastest growing denomination is not the Grace Brethren. It's not the United Brethren. It's the Church of the Ignorant Brethren. And you know what? Because the Word of God's not being preached today, I think that's true. Amen. There's a lot of people that have no clue about what the Bible says. And Paul says, I don't want you to belong to that group. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, or unaware. The word, you know what the word is? The word is agnosis. Gnosis is knowledge. Gnosis, no knowledge. It's the word we get agnostic from. Did anybody ever tell you, I am an agnostic? Well, if they ever say that, just say to them, I'm really sorry. You're an ignoramus? I'm sorry for that. Because that's what the word means. It means without knowledge. And Paul says, I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren. He wants us to be in the know. I have been told, even by pastors. You know what? Some pastors even told me once, oh, I'd never touch the area of spiritual gifts in the church. I'd never preach on spiritual gifts. You do that, you're going to open up a can of worms. You know what? Where that comes from? The pit of hell. Because Satan wants us to be unaware and ignorant when it comes to spiritual gifts, because they are important, folks. They are important. And, you know, Paul says, I don't want to be like that. I want you to be in the know. I remember back when Linda and I were, this back many years ago, we belonged to a church up in Detroit, Michigan. And I'll never forget some false teaching about spiritual gifts started to be presented in the church by a certain group. And I'll never forget what our pastor did, Linda. She knows what I'm going to say. Our pastor is a very wise man. He was preaching through the book of Romans. In fact, he took 5 years to preach. He went verse by verse, but man, he was thorough and he was a great, great preacher going through the book of Romans. And you know, when he found out there was some false teaching that was being introduced into the church, he interrupted his series on the book of Romans, and he did a 2 or 3 part series on spiritual gifts. And I'll tell you what, he nipped it in the bud. And I'll tell you, that's what you got to do. I'll tell you, I want to quote from one of my favorite theologians, Barney Fife. I remember one program where Barney's talking to Andy, and it's about Opie, and he said, that kind of behavior, Andy, you gotta nip that kind of behavior. You gotta nip it. And I'll tell you, the best way to nip false teaching is preach the truth. I'm going to tell you, you preach what the Bible says. And then you know what? You don't have any problems. Or you shouldn't have any problems. Because he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. But I want you to be in the know when it comes to spiritual gifts. Why is that? Because you know what? We need discernment. We need discernment. That's what he goes into in verses 2 and 3. He says, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. When you were non-Christians, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. When you were non-Christian, you had no discernment. And I don't want to offend anybody, but if you're here and you have not really come to Christ, you don't have any spiritual discernment. You're just being led around by your own impulses, led around by Satan. You have no discernment. But not so Christians. Verse 3, he says, therefore I make known to you, Christians, you have discernments. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a whole lot of different, you read the commentaries, there's a lot of different background in that, but I think basically what he's saying here is nobody that's truly speaking by the Holy Spirit of God can bring dishonor to Christ. And no one can really bring glory to Jesus except they are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I think he says this because, again, you remember they wrote to him in a letter asking him about this. We don't have that letter that they wrote, but I think what was happening, I think there were people in the church of Corinth that were actually maybe even going into ecstatic trances or whatever, and they were shouting out things like, Jesus is accursed! And they were claiming to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Paul says, you know what? That can't happen. You know, that cannot happen. That's not the Spirit of the Lord. That is, you can't do that. And Paul says it's not something that someone would say who is under the control of the Holy Spirit. And you can only say and mean that Jesus is Lord if you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, there's discernment here. Let me just say this. Not everyone that claims to be filled with the Holy Spirit is truly filled with the Holy Spirit. And there are those who claim to be following God and filled with the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. And maybe even outwardly, they appear to do miraculous things. And yet they dishonor Christ with their lips and their life and their lifestyles. And I'm going to tell you, those people are not filled with God's Spirit. They're not filled with God's Spirit. Someone who is truly filled with the Spirit of God will bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Yes. And I even sometimes turn on the television and I see some people up preaching, and all they're talking about, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit did this, Holy Spirit did that, Holy Spirit did this. And you know what? I get a big question mark. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit didn't come to talk about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit didn't come to glorify himself. The Holy Spirit came to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what Jesus said. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will glorify me. And I'm going to tell you what, be discerning, people. Be discerning, church. When it comes to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we need discernment. The discernment needed when it comes to the spiritual gifts. Be discerning. Second area of truth is the diversity and unity with regard to the spiritual gifts. Diversity and unity. And I'll tell you, I love this. This is a beautiful picture of the church. Diversity and yet unity. And you look at verse 4, the diversity. He says there are varieties of gifts. And the word here for gifts is different from the one up in verse 1. It's the word charismata. And it comes from the word charis, which is grace. And what the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're grace gifts. They're not given to us because we deserve them or earn them. Or as when I was a young Christian, somebody told me, if you just get a little bit more mature, you'll get this gift. It doesn't come with spiritual maturity. They are given out of the grace of God. We don't deserve them, but God gives them to us by grace. They're grace gifts. They're the charismata. Now, I don't even know if I should say this, because I might shock too many of you. Some of you are trying to go to sleep, and I might shock you awake. But if you're a Christian, you're a charismatic. Amen. Now, I see some of you. Oh, what would he say? Not in the contemporary use of that. Because some have taken that and just said, you know, you have to speak in tongues to be a charismatic. No, not in the biblical sense. In the biblical sense, anyone who has the gifts of the Spirit is charismatic. We have the charismata. We are graced. They're grace gifts. And there's a variety of them. How many? How many are there? Oh, you can read a book. It's called The 19 Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, here in our chapter, in chapter 12, there are at least 13 gifts and offices that are mentioned here in chapter 13. They're also listed in Romans 4. They're also listed in Ephesians 4. They're also listed in 1 Peter 4. And every one of the gifts is different. No list of gifts are the same. No list of gifts is exhaustive. So how many are there? I'll tell you what, I don't know how many there are. And let me put it this way. As many as the needs are, I think God gives out gifts. Yes, he does. He has all kinds of gifts. There's a variety of gifts, he says. And then in verse 5, there's a variety of ministries. A variety of ministries. Many ministries within the church. Many ministries within the church. And there are a diversity of gifts to be used in all those ministries. And why are there a variety of ministries in the church? Because there's a variety of what? Needs in the church. So God looks down, there's these needs in the church, and he said, well, we need ministries there, so I better give a variety of gifts to meet the needs in all those ministries. A variety of ministries. And then there's a variety of effects. Verse 6, King James says operations. And that's a very interesting word. That's the word that we get our English word from, energy, or to energize. And it literally means that what is worked out or energized. Like the gifts themselves, the energizing of the spiritual gifts is sovereignly varied. God energizes different people with different gifts, and the effects in those ministries are different. But that's up to the Lord. He does that. The variety of effects, the same gift may be used of the Lord in countless ways, and there can be a diversity of results in the use of the spiritual gifts. With regard to spiritual gifts, great diversity. I look out here, and you know, I look at the congregation. You're all different. Boy, are you different. You're all different. But you know what? You're all different in gifts also. Gifts and the combinations of gifts that God has given you. And that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But there is diversity, but in that diversity, there is to be unity. And you see that. There are many gifts, but one, tell me, one Spirit. One Spirit who gives the gifts. We're all indwelt by the same Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit, comes and fills us. And if the Holy Spirit is filling the church and filling us, even though there's a variety of gifts, you know what there is? You're going to have unity. Amen. Unity. You show me a church where there's disunity, and I'll show you a church that's not filled with the Spirit. Where Christians are going around in the flesh. Because we have the same Spirit. There's a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. Jesus, you know what he does? He's Lord. He assigns us where to go. Yes. He assigns us what we're to do. He assigns us. He assigns missionaries, Esley. He says, you're going to go to Transnistria. Or you're going to go over here. He is the Lord. He does the assignments. And he is the one whom we are to answer to. He's Lord. And there's only one Lord. And you know what? If people have Jesus as their Lord, there's not going to be division in the church. Amen. You know, the problem in the Corinthian church, they were walking in the flesh. The lordship of Jesus Christ, if I'm serving him and he is Lord, there'll be no division. And there's one there's a variety of effects, but one God who works all these things, you know, in all the persons. He's the one that gives the results, yeah. Right? Yeah. We do the ministry, we commit to him the results. And he's the one that energizes that ministry and gives the results. And, you know, one plants, one waters, God gives the increase. And so, you know what? If the results, you know, he gives one person this result, another person this result. You know what? There's unity. Because we all serve the one God. Now, oh, what is this? Spirit? Jesus Christ? God the Father? What is that? It's the Trinity. And there is nothing that is a better example of diversity in unity than the Trinity, right? Amen. God exists in three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. They're one. Do you know that they never fight in the Trinity? There is never any envying between the persons of the Trinity. Boy, I wish I had that gift. Boy, I wish I could do that. Oh boy, there's never any envying. There's no coveting in the Trinity. You know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are diversity. Three persons. One God. That's an illustration for us in the spiritual gifts. We're all different. But we have one Spirit that fills our hearts. We have one Lord Jesus Christ whom we serve. And we have one God. The results are up to Him. We have diversity. And this is beautiful. Because I look out at you all. You're diverse. Yet we're one in Christ. Amen? Amen. Diversity and unity with regard to the spiritual gifts. Now let's look three at the design and purpose of spiritual gifts. Verse 7. The design and purpose. The design, He's designed them and given them to every believer. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. You remember back in 1 Corinthians 7:7. However, each man has his own gift from God. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each of you has received a special gift. The gifts are given to every believer. So I want to tell you something. Congratulations. You're gifted. Amen. You are gifted. Come on, say amen. Come on, say amen. Yeah. You're gifted. If you're a Christian, you have received a gift. And, you know, some people have told me, they've told me this, Pastor, I don't have any special talent to serve in the church. You're wrong. I don't care who you are. You're wrong. You have something, a special supernatural ability God has given you to serve Him in His church, to the building up of the church and to the glorification of Jesus Christ. You're gifted. Are you using your spiritual gift for the Lord? That's the question. Well, why are we gifted? Why are we gifted? Spiritual gifts are given to the believer, listen to this, and put this down if you're taking notes, for the common good. That is very, very important, for the common good. They're not given for show. They're not given to draw attention to yourself. They're not given primarily even for your individual edification or good. Your spiritual gift is given to bless me and to bless others in the church. Amen. My spiritual gift is given not primarily for me, but for you and to bless others in the church. Amen. It's given for the common good. Now, it is true that if you use your spiritual gift and you use it in the Spirit, you will get blessed. But that's not the purpose of spiritual gifts. It's not to bring, so that people say, wow, look at the gift that he has or she has, and people will pat us on the back. It's to bless others. Amen. It's for the common good. It's for the common good. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each of you has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Listen to this. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As you have received, you've received a spiritual gift. When do you receive them? When you get saved. Not when you're born. Not when you're born. You get natural, maybe, abilities when you're born. You get supernatural abilities when you're reborn. When you become a Christian, you are given a supernatural gift. At least one, maybe more. Yes. And it says, employ it. Use it. Get busy. We're not saved to sit. What are y'all sitting for? No, we're not saved to sit. We're saved to serve. Yes. We're saved to get busy. The world needs Christ, Esley. Needs Christ. This world needs Christ. Amen. And as we use those spiritual gifts, people, the body is edified. Christ is glorified and people come to Christ. Amen. Employ them in serving one another as good stewards. Now listen, you know, steward. A steward will one day give an account. And this is something for us today. Listen, we will one day give an account to Jesus of how we use our spiritual gifts. Or how we don't use. If we don't use our spiritual gifts, we're stewards. And we want to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We want to employ those gifts to serve Christ. Amen? They're given. Why? The design gives them to all believers for what purpose? For the common good, for service in the body of Christ. Now, number four here, the distribution of spiritual gifts. And this is very important. Look up at verse 11. It says there, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually. And I'm going to stop there. The Spirit is the one who distributes the gifts. The Spirit is the one who gives the gifts. It's the sixth time that it talks about the Spirit being the one that gives the gifts. The Spirit of God gives the gifts. And you know what? I like that word, individually. He looks at your life and he gives you a certain gift that he knows that will be able to be used for his glory. And he does it. The next words are so important. But one and the same Spirit distributes to each one individually. Listen to this. Just as he wills. Sovereign. And you know, a lot of false teaching has come about by the fact that some people have mixed two letters, gotten one letter mixed up. It's not as we will, it's as he wills. Whoa, that's big. It's not as we will. The spiritual gifts, it's not like a smorgasbord. You know, oh, I'll take that one, and that one, and that one. Those are the ones I want. No, we don't get that choice. The Spirit of God gives us our gifts as he wills. And that's important, isn't it? Because if it were that other way, if we got the opportunity to choose any gift we wanted, what would happen? Oh, man, this gift over here. Boy, I like that one. I think I'll get a lot of praise on that. I mean, our flesh would get in there. And we would choose all the showy gifts and all the gifts that people, oh, my, that's a wonder. Oh, and then these other gifts that are maybe not the showy gifts, maybe not, but listen to me, very important. Gifts that are used behind the scene that maybe you will never see. You will never witness what's going on behind the scenes, but people using their spiritual gifts, very humble ways, then I'll tell you what, then in heaven we'll see the results. But we would choose the showy gifts. And then there would be gifts that are neglected. And what would that cause? What would happen in the body of Christ? What's that? Division. I heard something else over here. Chaos. What about the needs? There would be needs unmet. You see what that means? That means you are important to the body of Christ. You are important to the body of Christ because all the gifts, the Holy Spirit looks down. I believe he looks down. God loves his church. His eye is on his church. And he looks down and he sees the needs within the body. And he brings people and he gives people and he puts them in that body so that as every person uses their spiritual gift, in the proper way, under the direction of the Holy Spirit of God, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, all the needs get met. All the needs get met. And I want to tell you, it has been my joy this last year to watch gifts being used in this church. I'll tell you what, this church is a gifted church. We have so many people that are gifted. I mean, well, we have everyone that's gifted. But so many people that are using their gifts. And you know what? Needs are being met. And people come to this church and say, Pastor, that's a loving church. Man. And you know what? Praise God. You know, the Spirit knows what he's doing. Right? That's why he gives the gifts and the pastor doesn't give the gifts. Or we don't get a chance to choose our own gifts. And let me just say this, and we're going to be ending here, but there's no one gift that's given to every person. And look down at verses 28 through 30, because this has been misunderstood. It says in verse 28 through 30, and God has appointed to in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak in tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? And in the Greek language, I don't know much Greek, but I know this. There's a way to ask a question that begs the answer no. And that's how these are asked. Nobody has a certain gift. Everybody doesn't have one gift. Does all have this gift? Does all have, no. No. And there are those who would teach, oh, everybody's supposed to have this certain gift. That is false teaching. According to Scripture, that is not correct. We all have varied gifts assigned by the Holy Spirit. Now, I just have to say this again. Congratulations. You are gifted. You're gifted. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? If you do not, and a lot of times people come in, I don't know what my spiritual gift is, Pastor. Then here's what I want you to do. A couple of things. Would you this week pray, Lord, the Scripture says I am gifted. Would you show me what my spiritual gift is? Start to pray that. But don't stop there. Get involved in service in the church. Or go down and get involved in service at Summit Missions. Get involved in serving Christ. Because when you get involved in serving, the Lord reveals the gifts that he has given to you. Get involved. Start serving. And God will show you what your gift is. And when you do that, and when we do this and all use our gifts, the needs in the body are met. Now, there's a story told about the man Niccolo Paganini. He was the famous composer and violin virtuoso, one of the greatest violinists the world's ever known. When he died, he left his violin to the city of Genoa with one stipulation, and it was this. It's never to be used. It was a gift for preservation, but not for use. Well, folks, when God gave you your gift, it's not for preservation. It's not for showcase. It's to be used. Now, I'm going to end with this. A true confession. Did you ever get a gift that you never used? Well, back a few years ago, probably about 10, somebody in the church gave me a gift. I've never used it. And it's beautiful. And at first, I didn't want to use it because I thought it was so beautiful. And I brought it today. It's a handcrafted pen and pencil set. And I'll tell you, it is beautiful. That handmade. And they gave it to me 10 years ago. And you know, I put it in my drawer, and every once in a while I'd take it out and look at it. Wow, it's a nice pen and pencil set. Wow. but I never used it. And first of all, I want to say to the person in the church, I'm sorry. Forgive me, because I know you made it for me to use. So please forgive me. And second of all, I want to open it up. It's the first time. I'm going to start using them. If you receive the gift and it's still in the case, take it out of the box and start using it for Christ. Lord, we just bow before you today. Just thank you. Lord, we don't deserve the greatest gift, and that's the gift of salvation. But upon the grace that you shed on us when you saved our soul, you gave us gifts of the Spirit. And they are to be used and employed to equip others and bless others in the church. Forgive us, God, when we fail to do that. And help us, Lord. Help me to take the gifts out of the box and to employ them in serving others in the church and blessing others. And Lord, most of all, bringing glory and honor to your name. Touch hearts today, Lord. Put us in your service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.